Well, inflation might have eased, but not enough yet, says Jerome Powell, as the Fed keeps rates on hold. But for how long? We'll look at their decision and look ahead to the Bank of England as well. They're next, hot on the heels of inflation data, which shows that the headline rate is down, the core rate is as well, and services, though, still somewhat resilient. And Australia's employment numbers today as well, we'll look at what to look out for there. It is Thursday, the 21st of March, 2024. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the US dollar was managing to climb a little ahead of the Fed, but it's down 0.4% now. Against that, the Aussie has climbed 0.8% to 65.8 US cents. The euro and the pound up 0.5%. The US dollar's move has also cancelled out what was a 0.5% fall in the yen earlier. And equity markets, well, they seem to have responded well to the Fed, a little shaky but rising during the press conference. And then at the market close, 1% up for the Dow, 0.9% for the S&P, and 1.25% for the NASDAQ, 1.9% for the Russell 2000. In Europe, the FTSE closed flat, a 0.2% fall in the Euro Stoxx 50, and the DAX and the CAC 40 down 0.5%. And if it's bonds that count, well, 10-year treasuries, they wavered around a little between the FOMC announcement and the press conference, down about 2 basis points now for 10 years to 4.27%. Ahead of the Bank of England, UK 10-year gilts are down 5 basis points, but not much happening in continental Europe. And oil is down, a 2.1% drop in WTI and a 1.6% fall in Brent, taking it back below 86 a barrel now. That's all with falling stockpiles in the United States. Crude oil down 1.9 million barrels last week on top of a fall of 1.5 million the week before. But that is really a conversation for another day. It is really central bank day today, starting with the Fed. Here's NAB's Taylor Nugent in Melbourne. So the rate remains unchanged in the US, the fifth meeting in a row. And the dot plot shows 3 cuts this year. Only one member put down 4 cuts compared to 4 members last time. So they've sort of solidified their position somewhat.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, policy rate unchanged, still 3 dots for the median participant in 2024. But, you know, if you look more broadly, well, you know, that says that the Fed, you know, hasn't been spooked by the spike in inflation we saw in January. It's, you know, there has been maybe a little bit more of a shift in the direction that, you know, resilient growth maybe suggests there isn't quite as much scope to cut as quickly, but, you know, really only at the margin. You know, while there's still three cuts in the dots in 2024, there has been one cut taken out through 2025, and that flows through to 2026 as well. And I do think that, you know, you made the point there that, you know, that distribution of dots has shifted in 2024, and I think that's important as well in terms of, you know, how they're viewing the skew of risks around that 3 cut. So, you know, they still seem pretty comfortable that they will be in a position to cut this year, that they can move away from that restrictive stance. Except, yeah, as you say, just one participant now sees more than 3 cuts and they see 4. Whereas before there were, you know, it was more participants was of the view that maybe they could over deliver on that median.
And they've revised up their growth predictions as well. So they're saying, you know, better supply chains are fixing themselves, more demand, more workers. So all of that doesn't seem to dissuade the fact that they think inflation is on the way down. They just want more certainty. And Jerome Powell did his party trick of talking up the, like a true economist, talking up the case for cutting too early or cutting too late. And the decision's going to be made meeting by meeting. We've heard that before.
Yeah, and I think it just speaks to, you know, that view that there are two-sided risks here. Powell in the presser as well did also, you know, emphasize the both sides of the mandate, inflation and the labor market as well. He pointed out elsewhere in the press conference that, you know, strong jobs growth alone isn't enough to stop them from cutting. But, you know, yes, the GDP forecasts have been revised higher, so quite meaningfully actually in the near term to 2.1% from 1.4%. That compares to only a small upward revision to inflation, really. Core PCE expected at 2.6% over 2024. That's from 2.4%. So, you know, that again just kind of confirms that they haven't really waved through that signal from January. And Powell in the press conference, you know, made similar points to what we've been talking about on the podcast here, that maybe there's a bit of residual seasonality in the data. February wasn't particularly good, but wasn't as bad as January. And so, you know, suggesting that they are comfortable that they're still making progress on inflation. But, you know, that resilience in activity, you know, there was also some focus going into this meeting on that longer run dot, what we can think of as kind of FOMC participants' views of what more neutral policy settings are. That did move higher a touch, only 6 basis points on the median. So, you know, not much there. Powell called it a modest change in the press conference when asked about it. That's probably fair enough. But again, it's that distribution of dots that is important as well. And on my count, at least 5 participants have moved their dots higher. And when we look at, you know, that distribution around it, there's now 7 dots that suggest the long run is three or higher, and that's up from 4 in December. So, you know, not groundbreaking, but, you know, the wind is certainly continuing to shift in that direction of, you know, potentially that resilience in activity is suggesting that maybe neutral isn't quite as low as thought previously.
Yeah, so wait, but it's what? So, I mean, you're saying 6 basis. So it's gone from 2.5 to 2.6 with rounding, hasn't it? Which, but you're saying that's 6 basis points. I mean, it's going to take till 2026 to get there. But Jerome Powell wasn't really wanting to call that the neutral rate, was he? He just said, you know, we're not going to get back to where we were before the pandemic, but he wasn't giving any clear view of what the ultimate destination is. I mean, well, who knows, in all honesty?
Yeah, and look, I think that's reasonable. Policymakers are loathe to be too precise about their predictions of neutral. It is kind of, you know, a fuzzy base that can only ever be kind of an uncertain guide to how restrictive policy is. But, you know, it is kind of a closely watched anchor for what kind of levels FOMC participants are thinking rates could get to once the kind of those cyclical forces that are pushing them away from neutral policy are worked through. And so, you know, it's interesting, but again, you know, policymakers aren't sitting there and you know, making policy and assessing policy based on, you know, a hard and fast, how many 100 basis points are we above neutral, that's for sure.
And he talked about slowing the pace of the runoff on the balance sheet as well to, as he put it, reduce the stress on finance markets, but nothing specific on that. It was discussed, but no decision made. So really, I guess, I mean, no big surprises, were there, across the whole meeting, really?
Yeah, not too many surprises on balance sheet runoff. It is probably important just to note that while there was no decision today, Powell said that the general sense of the committee is that it will be appropriate to slow the pace of runoff fairly soon. And that's consistent with plans that they've previously issued. So as you say, not particularly new news there, but, you know, that sense that it'll be appropriate to slow the pace of runoff soon is interesting.
So ahead of the Bank of England, which we get later on today, it's a busy day today, isn't it? We had the UK inflation numbers a bit better than expected, but also too high still. So depending on what what spin you want. So the core inflation rate is 0.6% for the month in February. 0.7% was expected, but it was actually minus 0.9% in January. So there's something going on there. And services inflation is still very high, isn't it? I mean, but the headline number looks good, you know, down to 3.4%. But then services has only gone from 6.1% down to 6%. Goods is down at 1.1%. So they've got that covered off. But services, like everywhere, remains the problem.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, something for everybody in that. Yeah, both the core and the headline measures were a tenth below consensus, and we saw, you know, 2-year gilt yield certainly a little bit lower on the back of that data initially. But, you know, broadly, I don't think there's much in here to shift how the BOE is thinking about things. You know, that headline rate 3.4 versus 3.5%. It's obviously a massive improvement from where it was recently, and importantly, it's probably going to continue to head lower over the next couple of months. Base effects are still supportive of further falls there. And when we, you know, look to the April numbers, which the BOE will have ahead of their June meeting, that headline number could well be below the BOE's target of 2%, as those kind of base effects support continued progress there. The important thing, though, is how sustained is that going to be? And then it comes back to those core measures and that services inflation picture. And, you know, the picture is for, you know, progress, but still slow progress there. I think, once again, you know, data more than 6 months ago is really still pushing up some of those measures. The core inflation numbers over the year, 4.5%. If we look at the last kind of 6 months or so, on an annualized basis, they're tracking closer to something like 2.5%. So there has been more progress than maybe it looks like in some of those numbers. But, you know, BOE officials still certainly concerned about that stickiness of service inflation that remains high. And so there's, you know, really nothing in here that will, you know, give them too much comfort quickly.
But what will be interesting to see whether they're still divided, because last time one out of the nine wanted a cut, two wanted a hike. Everyone else was happy to stay where they were. So so presumably that two that wanted a hike are going to join and, you know, maybe a unanimous agreement that they should stick at this meeting.
Yeah, I mean, that'll certainly be the most interesting thing that we get out of the BOE. I think universally expected to hold the policy rate unchanged. We don't get new forecast updates this meeting. But yeah, the potential for those hawks, Haskell probably more of a chance, and Mann, you know, maybe an outside chance. You know, there is that risk that they you know, drop their previous votes for a hike. And, you know, that could make the board, the Monetary Policy Committee, look a little bit more united if that does happen, and probably would give the market a bit more confidence that they could be moving, you know, by the time we get into mid-year. But, you know, broadly expectations are for very little change from the BOE when they meet tonight.
And Christine Lagarde speaking overnight at the Goethe Institute in Frankfurt, giving a speech called Building Confidence in the Path Ahead. She might have been building confidence in the path ahead, but then she went on to say that they weren't really quite sure what the path ahead looked like. So she said even if they were to cut the rates in June, they can't commit to a path of rates beyond that. Why? Well, again, you know, it's back to services inflation, isn't it? And high wages.
Yeah. So Lagarde, I think she was reasonably clear, I think, about kind of the framework that the ECB is bringing to the, you know, the eventual easing. She kind of repeated that message that, you know, they'll know a bit more by April and a lot more by June. And, you know, consistent with that, markets are certainly focused on June as the, you know, the most likely kickoff point for a cutting cycle. There's 21 basis points of cuts for June. She also talked a little bit about what they would need to see in order to be comfortable, and pointed specifically to wages, productivity, and corporate profit margins as kind of the three things that they'll be focusing on to see how, you know, this evolution of the kind of slowdown in growth that we've seen is actually passing through into slower inflation pressure in the system and easing capacity constraints. And so, you know, all of that sets up that, you know, that data flow into the June meeting, you know, as we largely already knew, is going to be key. Also out of that conference, worth noting as well, the context of that discussion about the long run dot that we talked about from the FOMC, that the ECB Schnabel was also speaking, and she, you know, spoke about the risk that you know, neutral rates have moved a little bit higher as well, in, you know, classic policymaker fashion, in reasonably hedged language, and talking about those same kind of themes that are well known as potential drivers of some of this potential shift higher in where rates are likely to settle. And it's, you know, the investment need alongside structural challenges from climate transition, digital transformation, geopolitical shifts, all of these are kind of things she pointed to as potentially putting some upward pressure on where rates might settle in a more normal environment.
I like that hedged language. That is the language of central banks, isn't it? Do they speak English? Like at the ECB, do they speak German or French? No, they just talk hedge. That's what the language that central bankers use. I think I like that. Now, today, well, just quickly before today, a couple of bits of data from the US overnight as well, which don't want to miss out on. First of all, it's interesting that mortgage applications, well, they fell 1.6% last week. You'd expect that, of course, because interest rates are high. But the 30-year mortgage rate's starting to creep back up again as well. It's gone from 6.84% to 6.9%, and we get existing home sales out overnight tonight as well for the United States. But look, more locally today, first off, New Zealand's GDP for Q4, minus 0.3% Q-on-Q last time. Will it manage, however marginally, to get back into positive territory? I mean, it's been looking a little bit sad, hasn't it, the last four quarters?
Yeah, so, you know, another soft outcome expected from our BNZ colleagues in fourth quarter GDP, that they do pick a positive number. So it's, you know, 0.1% quarter-on-quarter growth is what they're expecting, and that would only be enough for 0.1% over the year as well. And so, you know, that's you know, not far from consensus also for 0.1% quarter on quarter. The RBNZ in their February forecast had a flat outcome, but, you know, more broadly just kind of cementing that idea that the per capita recession is rolling on in New Zealand is what's expected from that data today.
And Australia's employment numbers today? What are we expecting? And what would the RBA like to see? What would they really like to see today?
Yeah, the employment numbers are certainly important. The December and January numbers, at face value at least, were pretty weak. We've seen the unemployment rate move up to 4.1%. Our read is that there were some seasonal shifts where there were a lot more people than usual who had a job but hadn't yet started work and so weren't yet considered employed there in the January numbers. And so we're certainly looking for a bit of a rebound today. We're penciling in a gain of 50K for employment. It's only a little bit above consensus, which is plus 40. And then we're in line with consensus at 4.0 for the unemployment rate. I think there for the RBA, they're expecting the unemployment rate to average 4.2% in the second quarter and be 4.3% at the end of the year. And so I think importantly, if we fail to get that kind of tick back lower in the unemployment rate, then, that could have, the RBA could start to be a bit more concerned that the risks are pretty firmly that the labor market is deteriorating more quickly than they expect. But just to be clear, we do expect the unemployment rate to kind of tick back a little bit lower and, maybe give them some confidence that that kind of face value weakness in the employment data recently maybe isn't the genuine picture of, cooling, but only gradual cooling.
Right, we're not finished with central banks. We've got Norges Bank and the Swiss National Bank as well. Oh, to be in Switzerland with an interest rate of 1.75%. We've also got PMIs, the UK, the Euro area, Germany, the US. Tell you when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? And the Philly Fed Manufacturing Index and the weekly jobless claims. But we haven't got time to talk about all of that because we are well out of time, Taylor. But thanks for racing through what has been a very busy day.
Thanks, Phil.
And great news for Taylor Nugent fans because he's back tomorrow for the weekend edition, along with Julie Hare from the AFR. We're talking about Australia's tertiary education sector, where that's heading and what impact it is having on the economy. An interesting discussion on all of that tomorrow afternoon, but we've got one more morning call to get through before that. That is tomorrow morning's edition. I'll be back for that. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. Thanks for listening in today.